Yeah, big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith.
Hey guys, this is Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. I've got Rodna Daniels with me.
What's up, guys? It's Big Talkin' Brewskis time.
I've got Gina Savage with me.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here.
Rhonda Hanson.
I'm black, y'all.
Wallet Collins.
I'm trying to get my voice as deep as Gina's.
Just smoke a few more cigarettes.
Oh, I just want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to that theme song. I was like, this is a big production right here. I'm very impressed with that.
Talking Bruce Gay.
Dropped your name in here a couple of times. Very impressive.
Thank you, Wallet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rodney, how was your week?
My week was good. I was just, you know, working, and I did a show with you Friday night, and I hosted at Broadway Comedy Clubs, and nice. I was, you know, nice, doing my thing, and other than that, that's it. 9 to 5, grinding. You know how it is.
I hear ya. How is your week, Gina?
My week is, first of all, it's never not insane anymore. Not insane. I mean, those of you who know or don't know, I'm at Westside Comedy Club now. Booking and GMing the shit out of that, and it's been crazy. It's been a great run so far. So yeah, I mean,
and it's an awesome club. Yeah,
thank you so much. You were there.
Yeah,
for the Betty's show that we
Kevin
were doing.
Bacon was there, and Kira Cedric was there that night.
I know, right?
Yeah. It was crazy.
I was there on that night too. I really was. I wasn't making a joke. I was being serious.
I mean, it's like a really.
Molly is a Betty.
Betty, you. Yeah. So now it's been going well, you know, and it's busy. We have, I hate to like plug shit early, but we have the Vagina Monologues coming up, and I'm in that too.
That's awesome.
Cast.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Vanessa Hollingshead, Vicky Cooperman, Nikki Sunshine, Stacey Pressman, and I got like a few lines. So it's insane.
Yeah.
I've been busy.
Yeah. It's going to be an awesome show.
Thank you.
So, Rhonda, how was your week?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I went to see Farinelli and the King.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. I love Mark Rylance, and he did not disappoint.
Yeah.
It was a great production. Yeah, I was good. I was good. I had my fix. Yeah. Had my Broadway fix. So, you know, I'm also a theater director.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of that, I actually saw my name in the program at Dixon Place for coming up in October. I'm directing a one-woman show that is going to delve into Sandra Bland and other Black women who have been held in captivity by our authorities.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a good week. It was confirmed that I'm on board for directing that production at Dixon Place.
Yeah.
And I saw Mark Rylance, so I'm a happy camper.
Wow. Yeah, you're killing it.
You say you saw your name in a book like as if you didn't know.
Well, we were actually in negotiation.
Yeah.
You know.
And so confirmation was when you saw your name in print?
Well, I said, I guess it's going to happen.
Wow. Wow, that's kind of cool.
But Dixon Place is like a tremendous institution on the Lower East Side. They support new works by artists, and they have been supportive of me over decades.
Well, that's cool.
So to be there in their new place with this fabulous theater. Yeah.
They moved?
Oh my God, on Christie? They are on Christie, and they have a fabulous, fabulous theater. And I just saw it this weekend. I'm saying, I want to work in this.
Because I've been to the old space where like the bar in the front, and then they have the theater in the back, but I haven't been to the new space
yet. I was at the old space where Ellie actually slept in the room. You know? I've been through several different locations, and I also do the moth. I do the mosquito with Nancy Giles in the lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Nancy Giles started doing the mosquito because they didn't have her on the moth.
Okay.
And it's a great great storytelling show down right. there, a monthly show that she has, yeah. Besides being a great pundit and voiceover artist.
Wow.
But yeah, so anytime you can get over there to Dixon Place, you will really, really enjoy it. You will really enjoy it, either in the lounge or the theater.
Because I've done the Women of the Arts Salon or something like that, like in the lounge, and that was always like fun. And I did their show after the Women's March last year, and it's just like it's always just been a really great space, you know. But like
tremendous vibe, supporting creativity, and very progressive.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wally, how was your week, Wally?
Oh, I took a shower. actually, it's been good. I'm actually working on my show. It's called the Wally Collins Comedy Cup. It's a competition that we do. It's a lot of fun. It's like kind of like a mock competition. I'm the host and judge, and scores are just, you know, I score anything and my, you know, what my mood says. We had our anniversary show, and the score was 158,000, 154,000. So
I've been to that show.
So
seen that in action.
We get four headlining comedians, and we give them topics, and they get up there and do their things. And after each round, I give a score, and then we decide, you know, we tally up the scores, and that's it. It's a lot of fun. So I've been busy working on getting sponsors and promoting it, and now we're shopping for television. It was designed for TV too, anyway. So,
yeah.
But we're shopping for TV now. So.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What's been like some of like the like most fun moments of that show?
Wow. When the audience gets really upset with the scores and they start yelling out, you know, no, too low. Oh, that's too high. You know, when they the comics kind of like pit each other. Against each other, they kind of like tease each other.
Trying to roast.
Yeah. Well, they don't. It's not a roasting kind of thing. It's more of you know, they get up there. I give them a topic, and they get up there and they do the 5 minutes on, you know, pretty much each topic, and the comics will kind of like almost like encourage and say like, you know, oh, that was pretty funny, or kind of like get the comedian to talk more about it or whatever, you know.
Right.
I'm not into the whole roasting thing, to be honest with you.
Glad you said that.
Yeah. There's too many shows like that anyway. And it's just a lot more fun. And the audience gets in it too, because what I do, I have a menu of topics and I go into the audience and they pick from the menu and I pick the comedian.
Right.
And so the audience is involved too. And so it's like this big, like we're all in one big living room. And I keep saying it's a lot of fun because Gina was there. It's just a whole lot.
Yeah,
of fun.
I knew something was crazy when you gave like somebody like 5,000 points. I'm like, what is the? I don't even understand. But you know, you mentioned the thing about roasting, and I'm so glad you're not doing a show like that because you know there are. I mean, maybe this is a topic that's not on the topic,
but we can talk about anything.
There are so many shows where they roast. Yeah. I'm like, who are you even roasting? Like, I have a thing with that. Like, I don't even know you. Why are you roasting this person? Why? Because you used to be that guy's girlfriend or this one's. What is the deal?
It used to be that it was someone who had a very high stature.
Right.
Someone who was very, very popular and well known. Mm-hmm. Who was.
And well liked.
And well liked and was then made fun of. Right. And sometimes it could get a little scatological or you know, pointed. But now it to me, doing it to appear just seems mean to me. Yeah. You know, especially you know, if you know that, you know, their mother, you know, licks cans at
I've
night.
Seen, I've seen.
It's so random and hilarious.
Yeah. She's sitting there like,
can.
Your mother's a can licker
from way back.
it gets almost like awkward and embarrassing because some of them get cut a little bit too deep and like almost unnecessarily with some of those roasts, and it's just like, but it's our show is almost, I don't want to say it's the opposite, but it's not, it doesn't even go there. It's
That's
just
so great.
It's just so much fun. And,
it's uplifting.
Yeah, it's uplifting, right? And I mean, I don't want to say like a spiritual kind of thing. Like,
the spirit came to you.
No, but it's just comics who are having a good time, and you know, we're just having fun, and we're doing our thing, you know, and that's why the scores are, you know, so ridiculous, because I'm not going to judge them on the material or what they say or you do, whatever. It's just, you know, whatever mood it is. So
that's awesome.
Pure fun.
Yeah. So Wally, do you feel like you can separate an artist from things that they've done? Like if an artist has been accused of doing like a felony, or we're in the middle of this like Me Too movement and there's so many artists and producers and people in Hollywood that have been accused of sexual assault. Like, can you separate the person from their art?
It took a lot of work. And Cosby was the one that made me really, really, really challenge myself. It took a lot of work to separate that, to say the craft itself. You know, I look at it, he's a carpenter. You know, he makes really good, you know, cabinets or tables, right? So it's like his quality is really good. I mean, he was one of the comics that, you know,
and
I emulated.
Quaaludes in those cabinets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, you got to open the cabinets. But it's like I said, it took a lot of work, and I'm still working on it. That I have to separate the art, the craft, from the personal life. You know, we all have skeletons in our closets. Sometimes those skeletons get revealed. And
if you know Quincy Jones, they do.
Ooh, oh, we had to
that's
hit
a,
that.
That's a whole nother. Yeah. Yeah.
So well, salty.
Yes. But it is, like I said, it takes a lot. I'm still working on it, but it takes a lot of work to do that, because it's almost like saying that someone who contributed to society and, so to speak, in a pot, like I'll use Cosby, he contributed to the black community in such a positive way, and we're all like, yay, and then it's like, whoa, so do we take all that away and say that those strides that he made don't count anymore? You know what I mean? So it's really hard to, it's really tough to do, but I'm working on it, and I say I'm leaning more towards yes, I can. So there you go.
Well, you know, I have an interesting spin on this in the sense that, like, you know, like historically now, you know, they want to take statues down, yeah, and they want to do, you know, you would have to rip apart the dawn of man at this point, mm-hmm, you know, with what we're taking away. I'm not saying that people don't deserve to, you know, if you know something happens that, right, you know, that's actionable, you right know, that type of thing, but you know, we can go back to the Roman era, or you know, it's just all of history, everything we think we know would have to be eradicated, or the crimes of, you know, centuries ago, I mean, it's like, how far back are we going to go? Well, getting to your point, you know, like the Woody Allen thing, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when I watch a Woody Allen film, does that take away? Well, I personally can watch a film and say this is a great piece of art, and I could look at a painting and say this is a great piece of art. Same thing with comedy, and then still know what I know, but it doesn't, you can't undo the beauty of what something is. I think you can feel a sense of loss because it's tainted with this other thing now, but it's still, I can sort of still separate that.
Yeah, I think it's like, do we take away those things? You know, it's almost like everything that is, so to speak, great and grand that we hold up high, someone can find a piece of dirt about that person. And so now, do we take that all away and say, did it contribute to society to make it a better place to live? Did it make it a more comfortable place to strive or to move forward? So it's like that tough decision. Do you say, all right, you did something bad in your past, all right, boom, take it all away? But then it takes away all those accomplishments that a person did, and we appreciated that, you know. And so, can you like say take backsies on that?
Rhonda, as far as Cosby specifically, though, like that whole situation, like you got to look at like Raven Simone and Keisha Knight Pulliam. These people are not getting checks anymore because of the show not being on TV.
Yeah.
Like it's been in syndication for years, and like it wasn't.
It's back on now.
It's back on now. Mm-hmm. Well,
but to your point, you know, about separating the artist from his art. Well, I do have to say, Leni Riefenstahl, she really made her contribution to society.
Who?
The woman
who's this?
Who created Hitler's massive campaigns, his visual campaigns, were works of art.
Oh, I didn't know this.
And they help bring him.
You're way too smart.
Yeah, really. Like, I was
and
like,
this
what?
Is why we book her.
We were like, what?
Please school us, Rhonda.
I know, right. Go, Rhonda.
Call in. Can people call in?
Yeah, they can.
Call in if you have something good to say about Leni Riefenstahl, because she was a woman filmmaker. She was highly respected, and her work is amazing, and it did its job.
Right.
It did its job.
Yeah. Promoting Nazis? Is that what it was?
But see,
but
it goes on and on and on. Like, Hugo Boss did the...
So if people want to call in, they can call in at 347-557-8185. Again, that's 347-557-8185.
And that's, it goes on and on. Like, Hugo Boss, they made the Nazi uniforms. So do you take those away? You know, Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, Mercedes.
BMW.
Ford. I want to say Tom Ford, the other Ford, the car guy.
Yeah.
He was a Nazi. So do you take all these?
Johnson and Johnson owned slaves.
I'm so glad that you brought this up, because there are so many companies that exist now and who probably recently got a tax cut from 45, a gift.
Girl.
Who had the beginnings of their foundation in slavery, mm-hmm. in the slave trade, mm-hmm. in us as commodities and currency.
Right.
Yeah. And, and I understand what you're saying, Gina, that we could go back. Yes, we could go back. But what I think is important now is having the discussion. We got to have the discussion now, instead of like turning a blind eye, and because nothing will get changed without the conversation.
Right.
We've got to have the conversation and take some action.
Conversation is unavoidable, I think, at this point, which is good. At the same time, there are things that are actionable, and then there are things that are just, they're just Twitter folly for Twitter and things like that. Do you know what I mean?
I'm for the actionable things. I'm for the things that can be done, that can be justified, and that people can see this is necessary at this time. Like, it is absolutely necessary to start listening to women when they say, I took a punch to the face. And that conversation has never been as widespread and as prevalent as it is now. I mean, our Supreme Court justice was being was being questioned about his treatment of what's a black woman who was vilified when she brought harassment charges against
Thomas?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Angela. It's not Angela. What's her name?
No, it's.
Oh my God!
Nobody came to her help.
That's true.
Nobody from no white women. Nobody was marching. Nobody was marching for her, and all she was left with was talking about pubic hair on a Coke can,
right.
all by her lonesome. Right. Kerry Washington just played her on television.
Hold on a second.
Could you Google it home and call in with name of this woman that I'm talking about, ladies?
It's killing me.
I agree to an extent that we would have to go so far back in history, but I also feel like if we want to evolve as a society, then I think that we need to kind of say, like, all of these people have an asterisk. Like, personally, I don't watch Woody Allen. You brought up Woody Allen as an example, but like, I've found Woody Allen problematic, like, on so many levels. Like, I mean, just one, he's married to his daughter, like, that that is problematic. And then aside from the fact, like, just being like a person of color, like, he doesn't ever have any people of color in any of his movies.
I'm with you on that. Except the only one he did have was a prostitute.
Yeah. Well, of course, because that's all we do is, fuck for money and sell drugs. But, just like, oh, yeah, nobody told you. You didn't go to the meeting.
I missed that one. Yeah. I was late.
always on CC time.
Oh, by the way, Anita Hill.
Anita Hill, yes.
Yeah, God, I can't believe it.
Yeah,
20 years ago?
Yeah.
Right, so that's the only reason we don't remember, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, so to your point, Gina, it's like, so when do we start? Like, okay, we're talking about the Ford. He was a Nazi, so we do take away all Ford cars. So when do you separate to say that, the work of this particular person to benefit man to say to society, so to speak.
This is where I agree with Marissa, and to everyone's point. Like, this is where I agree. Like, okay, so like I can still say, you know, I'll watch a Woody Allen movie because I'm Jewish and I'm white. Okay, that's, you know, and I relate to the neuroses and I can separate the, you know, whatever. Do I understand what you're saying? Absolutely. Do I hope that the dialogue and the industry changes? Absolutely. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I find that something hilarious right. from that. So so it's just about raising the awareness and consciousness, which I think is probably the biggest part of this whole dialogue, is just making it like Rhonda, like what you just said, like having that dialogue open up to that extent.
Would you still watch Bill Cosby, like the Cosby Show?
To be honest, like, I mean, when I was a kid, I watched Cosby, but like I really kind of got off of the Cosby bandwagon when he was just like all about like, oh, you know what the black people need to do. Like, you know, it's just like, granted, we have the same skin tone, but once you start making a certain amount of money, you're in the green stratosphere and you don't have color anymore. Like, I just feel like once anyone reaches a certain amount of achievement, then they really can't speak to anyone that's outside of their like socioeconomic class. Like, so I feel like he can't, if he was a, like a billionaire white person saying like, oh, well, you know what's wrong with people only making $35,000 a year? You're all fucking lazy. Get off your asses and invent something. We'd all be like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, but it's like at the same time, it's like, granted, I'm not saying he's not talented and I'm not saying that he opened doors, but he was given those opportunities to open those doors. And I don't think that there were other black performers that weren't as talented as he was at that time. He was just more palatable to the people in power at that time that gave him that opportunity. And I think because he was kind of disseminating a message that, oh, you know something? I'm one of the good ones. These people have problems. Like, look at me. I'm not doing that. And he spoke to something that they wanted to hear. And I think that he rode that wave to the top. And then he was just kind of very condescending to everyone that didn't have those opportunities. But at the same time, I don't necessarily. Yeah, like he had the Cosby Show, but like, and he's very active in like Temple University. But I don't know how grassroots was he in actually trying to help others, like, have other opportunities themselves?
He was a great philanthropist. He and his wife contributed money to so many causes, millions and millions of dollars. But what I think is it's very good to be a philanthropist when you are drugging people and assaulting them.
Especially if you're getting a tax break.
Look the other way.
But then there's a double standard. So then he goes, okay, so here's this guy doing this. And so, okay, now we're all saying, okay, we don't want to watch him anymore to take his shows off the air, whatever. But now all that, you know, philanthropy that he's done and all that money, do we give that money back?
No. Keep that damn money.
So then, okay.
In fact, Bill, you can write me a check right now, darling.
So what he contributes, I will take that shit to the bank.
So what he contributes
financially, you take, but what he contributes to you, so to speak, morally, like I'm saying on the surface, morally, you don't want.
I don't want him assaulting people, but I know Bill Cosby has had many shows on television. Right. He started early. His career has spanned decades.
Right.
And there is no denying his contribution just to television and also to...
Fat Albert is problematic. Like, Fat Albert is problematic.
But that's what I'm saying. Like you're saying, contribution. So contributing to the world with, you know, through television and media, and then contributing through philanthropy. So you're saying we don't want to see that, you know, the stuff that he contributed through media, but we're going to take the money.
Oh, back. I didn't say I didn't want to see it.
No, but I'm saying it's like people are saying that, you know, he shouldn't be on TV, so they got rid of him, blah blah blah. But he also, and he was I Spy, you know, goes on and on and on, those different shows, Kincaid and all that. So they're saying we're taking that all off. But he contributed all this money, but we're going to keep that.
Yeah.
But okay, but I'm saying it's like, so then It's like I feel it's like a double standard because
it is. But this is America, and we were built on the double standard. We said all men are created equal, except these people and a couple of women.
So then we decide. So
America is based on the double standard.
So where do you decide where the double standard starts and stops?
Oh, that's not for me to decide. I just have to be in a position to profit from it.
Ooh-wee.
So you just stand under that right umbrella or stay right under that.
But she's not right drugging women and giving them quaaludes and raping.
But I'm saying, yes, okay, that's a fact, you know, that he did those things. But I'm saying is that when you are contributing, and I think that's a great word, contributing, you are contributing to society, saying, and so to speak, and I'm putting in quotes, in the positive way. When he did the Cosby Show and all that, it was black folks in a positive light. You know what I mean? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm saying all that.
When he did I Spy, it was black folks playing tennis.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so all those things. All right, so it was, and so we all took that, right? And then, you know, when she started making money, he was contributing financially. So now people find out things about, you know, his past or whatever, and like, oh no, we can't have that. So you strike all that stuff that he did, you know, on TV, but still keep his money from that, what he contributed. So like I'm saying, it's that double standard. So where does that start and where does that end for anybody?
Where does it start and where does it end? What about, remember that Sandusky shit? That was awful, disgusting shit.
Yeah.
That was like topple those statues down.
Yeah.
Right? But how many championships is that? I mean, I'm not trying to.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But like, and then they struck all that, right? Yeah. All those championships were gone.
Yeah.
Because of that man's, I mean, it's a sad state of affairs,
right,
is just like too
it's an understatement.
It's beyond an understatement. It's just, but again, how far back is the question?
Exactly.
You know, it's just,
I think that's like, I don't know if it's rhetorical, but I think it's a question we should be asking all of ourselves, is that where does it start and where do we start doing this and where does it stop doing this? Because if you can go back even to George Washington, he owned slaves. So,
right.
He's
got an asterisk.
Yeah.
Did he really cut down the Cherokee?
No.
No.
My feeling is, I'm just trying to lighten the mood. Jesus Christ. Cherokee. I don't even know what it was.
It's too deep now.
But he did have teeth.
That's how I was as a kid.
All I gotta say is free Johnson & Johnson for black people.
What?
You talked about Johnson & Johnson.
You
but
did.
They the weren't they the Q-tip people? Come on, we need those.
Yeah, and oh my
God. What is that?
It goes on and on. And then
Wally, you need a Q-tip.
You're bringing up an important question, yeah, but my idea is not, at the moment, it's not going backwards. It's like from here forward. Mm-hmm. It's from, what are we doing from this moment? Like when 45 talks about what a good man Rob Porter was, and never ever mentions the multiple women who suffered at his hand, the multiple women who had to take his abuse. Mm-hmm. What, that's where,
well, even Steve Bannon, I mean, he's surrounded by like wife beaters, and like they just had
she's not talking about the undershirt, folks.
No.
That took me a second. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
I was like, yeah. No, I'm talking about the disgusting people that he surrounds himself by. And then we just had this week, I believe, one of
his speech writers.
One of his speech writers also beat his wife. But then one of his campaign managers in Kentucky was just charged with sex trafficking children.
Pedophilia, and pedophilia
this week. Like this week.
So that's why I'm not so interested in going back and taking things away. What's happening right now? How are we reacting to what's going on right now?
I have a point in that. Look, all I know is that this is alleged, right? This is allegedly things that have happened, right? Oh, okay. Do we have fact that this actually happened? Do we have fact? Or is it just right now? I don't, because I haven't read, so forgive me for being not knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, until there's facts on paper and proof of anything, it's allegedly these things happened, right? Allegedly they happened.
Right.
Yes.
And so what I find more than anything is a court of public opinion,
mm-hmm,
more than anything. Mm-hmm. So until there are facts, until there are facts that are indisputable facts that these things happen, I sort of have to reserve judgment, which has always been the way I've acted on things. Mm-hmm. Like, I see there's stuff about just any of us, right. any of us. This happened, this happened, this happened. And if I believed everything I heard or read about, you know.
All that shit about me is true, Gina.
Well,
I only touched his ass because he was asking for it.
what he was wearing.
You saw how he was right. dressed.
You know,
so,
you know, if he's I wearing those tight you know, Levi's.
Right.
You know.
If I would have pursued my other option in life, if I would have done it, would have been to be an attorney.
All right, so
and
now,
I just think until you have, you know, fact,
right?
Everything is conjecture, hearsay, bullshit.
Okay.
Until you have it.
Okay. So right. that's great. Taking fact, but or however, people in this country, as society, culture,
yeah.
they don't roll like that.
No, they don't.
If it's popular, is it a popular belief?
It's Twitter court.
It yeah. happens.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. But
live
it,
some lives, people, and get off freaking
yeah, but,
Facebook and Twitter.
But that's not going to happen.
America, right. though.
I know.
That's America.
And it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So yeah. it's one of those things that if it's a popular thought or popular gossip, whatever,
right.
it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the hard part right. where, like, even a court of law, like even OJ. So OJ, in one court, he was acquitted. So that didn't happen. You know what I mean?
If right. the glove does not fit.
Right. But then in the civil court.
That was a messed up glove.
But in the civil court, he was right. he was found guilty. So which one do you believe? Because in the court of law, and I'm putting in quotations, court of law,
he
one says it didn't happen. And the other one says it did happen. So,
and you use the right word, yeah. Gina. It's allegations, and that is what we have against this representative in Kentucky. The Republican Party is calling on the GOP state lawmaker to resign following allegations he molested a 17-year-old girl. Now, the thing about it is, it's an allegation. But we have to start discussing why is it that all of these people are doing this? How do we prevent the molestation of our young people? How do we prevent this? The allegation for the individual, you are right. And until it's in a court of law, until proof, until you come up with the picture mm-hmm. of him with his hand on a 17-year-old girl's titty, you know. That's what was swung the White House this yeah. week. They had to see the picture of the woman with
the
black
eye.
Yeah. Otherwise, they weren't going to believe him.
Yeah.
But the thing
right,
is,
like that couldn't have been doctored. With all due respect, we don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know. Like I'm just.
She
I'm,
never
you know,
burnt
just,
the turkey
I'm
pot
not,
pie so, again.
Right. I mean, I don't. I do, I'm not saying. I'm not trying to. I didn't see it. Honestly, I didn't.
I think what's important is talking about why these people are doing it. Why are these holy rollers and holier than thou evangelicals being caught fucking people in their
doing
on their desks?
Yeah.
And,
come
after.
On, let's go back to the 80s. What was that Jessica What's-Her-Face and the other reverend guy? Jessica Hahn
yeah.
and that guy
yeah.
and that
yeah.
whole thing. I mean, this is not news,
it's,
really.
It's not,
just bigger news because there's a bigger format.
I think it's,
for
big,
it.
It's, I not, think it's bigger gossip. Really.
It's not right. new, and what happens is social media has these things spreading so quickly that
yeah.
we don't even have time to absorb it before the next scandal comes along.
Right.
But we have to start discussing how to prevent this.
But I also think, like, to your point, like back, like these kind of scandals have always happened. That people have always talked about these things. But the difference is that I feel like people are trying to change the culture and that feminism is trying to move forward and that now, like, people are just saying, well, you know, it's not okay anymore. Like, that's the difference. Like, back then, it's like, yeah, like, he's a reverend. He had an affair. But, like, now people are like, well, you can't be in public life being a reverend saying that, you know, gays can't get married and women can't have abortions and you can't get divorced. But then now you're also having an affair. I think people are trying to set a standard of what is it acceptable for people that are telling us what we should do in our lives, and but they're not doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of always lived in a society where it's do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
But now I think we're trying to say, well, if you want to be treated like we should be listening to you as a population, that you are this monocle of righteousness, then now you need to leave that pure life that you're saying, and they're not. And I think that that's the thing as well, is that, yeah, like, for, let's just take Aziz Ansari, for instance.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Now,
what?
That was...
Yeah. What? That, oh, my God.
All right. Well, we could go there, but ye who is without sin, cast the first stone.
I am so upset with the woman who wrote that blog.
Oh, it's God. Like, you know, yeah. It's like...
I am so upset.
Yeah. You had a bad date. If he was such a shitty guy, why are you sucking his dick? That is, should be something that you do for a good date. That's a, like a great date. Like, you, right. I need to feel like I'm Cinderella and I'm 5 minutes from Pumpkin Time, and I need to, like, thank you. But like, if you're just like, oh, well, he had power over me, and so I had to do it because he had power over me. He's not your boss. Mm. Like, you're not even in comedy. Like, he's not a producer on a show that you work at. You're not trying to pitch him a show. Like, literally, he's some dude you met at a party, and then you went on this date, and he was being a dick.
Some dude you met and went after at a party.
Oh, wow. Okay, and I have something to add.
And yeah, you after. Were with someone when you went after him and gave him your number. Mm. And you were upset about the kind of wine that he gave you, yet
no
you drank anyway.
No one drinks red wine with oysters.
And, really? And you watched Seinfeld with him.
You know. Yeah,
so I think the person who wrote that blog made a big, big mistake.
Well, I'm going to speak for myself. Okay, I've been in comedy 20 years, right, on and off. And there have been, you know, one of the things, like, you know, I have always said, and I've been quoted as saying, that's inappropriate. But we've always had
I'm sorry, Gene, I couldn't help myself.
That's okay, it's all right. Put your pants back on. We're in the confines of this lovely podcast studio. Now, I have been in a situation, personally, where a comedian exposed his nether regions to me, right? While I was literally at the computer in my office, and I heard, hey, you want to see it? Now, I'm not going to name names because I'm not a tattletale, and I'm not a big baby, and, you know, and it's not like I'm a grown-up, right? So here's what I'm going to say after I tell you this story really quickly. So I saw the... And I was like, hey, not bad. That's the extent. Uh-oh. That doesn't require me to come out 20 years later and go, I saw so-and-so's, oh, that's inappropriate. It's an office setting. Right. You know, like, I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. That's a dick. Who cares? Right? I didn't get all offended by it.
You're
it
a nicer
really
woman
depends.
Than I am, Gina.
It really depends.
I point and laugh. That's what I
Right,
I
but
am.
That's my point. It depends. Here's the opinion, the court of public opinion, depends on whether or not you find it an offense. Yeah. I wouldn't have necessarily, with Louis C.K., let's say, gone to the room, and let's say he went, did, I would have been like, gross, and walked out. Right, like, I mean, right, you know. Right. Like, it just depends, and I'm not putting those women down. It just depends on what you can take. Back in my day, 100 years ago, we weren't so, like, you know, but that may also have to do with my lack of self-esteem. Let's be honest. It may also have something to do with that.
Time for the truth, ladies and gentlemen.
But that's okay, because I don't feel the necessity of fucking up that guy's life and family and kids because I saw his dick one time.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
But I also feel like that, like, is, and I'm sure, like, this was not, like, 2 months ago. This was probably, like, years ago when that happened. Or it might have been 2 months ago.
I'm saying, like, you know, if you have something to say it in the moment that it happened.
Right.
But, you know, like, at this point, many people could have changed their lives, their attitudes, their situations, and the can of worms that...
I got a great story.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a great story, and I was telling a friend, because someone's asking...
Who whipped it out to you, Wally?
What'd you say? Who whipped it out to... No. I'm gonna tell you the story, and I'm really being revealing right now, but I think this is probably... cathartic, whatever. Okay. So someone asked me, he goes, oh, Wally, you know, somebody who, you know, someone's going to come on to you. And I was like, nah, man, I'm not that guy, you know. However, when I was in college, I had a friend of mine who I just emulated. Like, everything he did, I'm like, I want to be like him, you know. He would get all the women. They're like, how do you do it? Da, 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 da. And so then.
Quaaludes.
No, no. One time we were talking, and he said to me, he goes, listen, see, women don't know what they want. You got to tell them what they want. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. You got to tell them, like, you know, because they want the sex. They want the sex, but you got to show them that you got to take that sex, because then they know that's what they want. I'm like, really? That's how it works? He goes, yeah, that's how it works. Now, see, I'm understanding that's how women work, and I'm listening to him, right? So now I'm with this girl, and I start forcing myself on her. Right. And she's like, get off me. He's like, no, this is what you need. You know, and right. She starts crying and whatnot. And I'm like, ah, but then I stop. I'm like, well, this is not how it's supposed to go.
I'm not supposed to be crying.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, right. not in this situation.
Or going to first base.
So, right. And so then I was like, well, wait, I don't want to. So I stopped. And it was like this, of course, obviously, this weird, like, you know, she was half naked. I was fully clothed, you know, and I'm like,
wait, what's up with that?
That's what I'm saying. I stopped. And then I was like, no, that's not what you do, you know, in that moment. And of course, she was upset. And, you know, I remember her kicking me in my side and said, get out. And I'm like, yeah, all right. But I remember walking back to my dorm saying, that's not, you know, and I remember that it was just that crazy kind of paradigm, because he was telling me, this guy that I, you know, he was my idol. And he said to me, this is how you handle women. So I did that because I saw him with all these women. But then in the actual moment, I'm like, no, that's not how you handle women, you know. And so it took me a second of that walk back to my dorm, like, no, you don't know. It doesn't. So I'm saying is that it's one of those things where you have to decide on yourself, saying as a guy or whatever, even a woman, saying that, you know what, this is too far. This is not consent. This is not how it's supposed to be.
Well,
you know?
I've had like a situation kind of not exactly the same, but like I was dating this guy, or like I was with him. We were like, we'd gone away for a weekend, like out of the Hamptons or whatever. And, you know, where he had been out all day, like barbecuing, like drinking, blah, blah, blah. And then we were like fooling around when we got back to the hotel. But we had been like up the entire day in the sun, whatever. And like we were like hooking up. And then like while like I'm on top of him, I realized he had fallen asleep. And like he's asleep in me. And like,
wow.
And like, okay. Not in a good way. Lady.
Wow.
And so, and then I'm just like, oh, he's asleep. And then I'm like, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? And he's just like snored and kind of like moved his head. And I'm like, oh shit, he's asleep. And then I was just like, oh my God, am I raping him right now? I think I'm raping him. And like, and I was just like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, right. And I just like, and I literally like had like a panic, like how long has he been asleep? I just noticed now. I stopped the second I knew he was sleeping. Like, did I rape him? Like, I don't know what happened. Like, but it was like one of those, like, he's definitely not consenting. And so like then the next morning I was just like, listen, I'm really sorry, but like I hadn't realized that you had fallen asleep. And he's just like, oh, you should have just finished. I would have done that. And I was just like,
whoa.
And then you have a lovely pearl necklace.
Whoa.
Like, and I was just like, yeah, that's not going to work. And he's just like, what? Like, you know, we were in the middle. And I was just like, no. And like, you know, I waited till I got home, but I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. Like, you
that's
know,
deep.
Yeah. But it was that's just deep. Like when I was like, oh. So that you're one of those guys. Yeah. Okay. You're going to fall asleep and rape me at the same time. Like,
and here's another question, too. So when is it, especially in the workspace, and I remember working the 9-to-5, when is it flirting and when is it harassment? I say if he's good looking, it's flirting. If some guy you do not like, it's harassment. I think there's a blurry line there.
You know, they did a great sketch on Saturday Night Live with of all people, James Franco, where they were like, did anyone see that sketch?
No.
Okay. I actually, you know, cause I'm always working. So I watched it on demand, but, it was with, Keenan and he was like a security guy and everything was like really hilarious. Like when he, you know, was basically harassing the women and then, like they did it like where it was acceptable with Keenan,
right,
and not acceptable with James.
Oh wow.
Right? Okay. Right. So like it was like funny when it came from the security guy who was just joking.
Right.
But now it was creepy if James said, like James, like he actually did this. And it was creepy when James said, your dress is nice.
Right. Right.
But, you know, but it is interesting whether, because if it's true, right? Like if someone, well, that's, I like the way that, you know, hugs your hips, right? And it's a, you know, hot girl or guy, whatever.
Right.
we're all like, yeah, we're on board. And then, but if it's the creepy dude, right. You're just like, yeah, that's creepy. And that's why it's so blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not blurry when someone says no. I mean, that's pretty definitive.
No, no, right. But I'm saying the one who's giving the compliment, like, the one responding to saying no, right, that ends it right there. But I'm talking about, like, saying if it's someone that you're attracted to and he says something in a flirtatious way, you know, like the way that your dress hugs your hips. Oh, you know, that means he likes me too. But if some dude, you know, who's, you know, got a booger hand on his face and he's just kind of like, hey, I like my head, you hug your hips, you're like, ugh. You know, same that, words.
I think it's different when, like, so in a work environment, I think it's okay to say, you look nice today. But I don't think it's okay, good looking, not good looking, for you to say, oh, I really like how the way that skirt hugs your hips.
But
yeah, that's like, but never either okay. Or.
But I think she went to the extreme. But I'm saying this, the same person.
Like,
the same person gets, you know, the same phrase can be said by two different people. And one person would say, what is that supposed to mean? The other can be like, oh, thank you. So
here, I'll give you a different example. So the other day, someone, I'll just say, I won't say where it happened, but let's say a server.
Okay.
Let's say a server at a particular place walks over to a table and says, you know, hello, love. You know, did you have a chance to look at the menu? Mm-hmm. Well, who said you could call me love? Like, how far do we have to go?
Because I say that. I'm a server. I say that all the time.
Hello, love.
What
hello,
are you ordering, love?
Right. Hey, I didn't say you could call me love.
I might put my hand on your shoulder,
love.
Too.
Well, you know,
there's inappropriate and then there's actionable. Inappropriate doesn't require action. That's a conversation. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Right.
Something can be inappropriate. Now, inappropriate is up for grabs. That's all I'm saying. Inappropriate used to be that's inappropriate. That's inappropriate. Now it's like, that's inappropriate. Go directly to jail. Yeah. Do not pass go.
I think people are just like super sensitive. And, you know, and I'll throw it out as just being like a millennial problem. But like I was doing a show actually election night at the Creek. And that there was, as like the ballots are coming in and the half of the country's turning red, this comic that's in the room turns to me and says, oh, once Trump's president, we can all grab you by the pussy now.
Oh.
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
Oh. I said to him, try to grab me by the pussy. Have you ever picked up your teeth with broken fingers? Inappropriate. Now we are at a zero sum. He's just looking at me like, and now.
What did I say?
Right. But now, now this is the thing that I don't understand when women are like, well, he has so much power over me. When someone does something inappropriate to you, you can meet them at like inappropriately because you're at a zero sum. This is like, this is now like, this is like kind of like brinkmanship at this point. If you were like at war, is that you're both playing chicken. It's like you did something inappropriate. I can do something inappropriate. We're both at a net zero because we both are being fucked up right now.
Mm.
But you have to say, like, no. Like, you have to push back at some degree. Mm. I'm not saying set the motherfucker on fire, but I'm just saying him know that this is not cool. Yeah. And because, like, otherwise, it's like, I could have been, if I had gone the other way, it's like, oh, my God. Like, you know, I was doing this show, and this guy said to me he could grab me by the pussy. And I could have gone on social media, and everybody would be like, oh, he can't say that to you. Like, I know he can't say that to me. But if I'm telling, like, listen, like, you're the one in these streets right now, like you're going to have to deal with what you just did and what you just said.
There are repercussions.
There's repercussions. Like, you can be inappropriate, but there's repercussions to your inappropriateness. Now he's rethinking this. Now, had he actually grabbed me by the pussy, now this is a whole nother ball of wax.
Right.
But now he knows, don't take that extra step because I've already kind of laid out the foundation how this is going to work out if you try to grab me by the pussy. you know what I'm saying? It's like, but like.
But my next question is, do you honestly believe that he'd go around after, you know, after, well, now Trump is, that he's literally going to be walking around? Do you honestly believe this particular person's going to walk around?
I believe it.
Yeah.
No,
I'm just saying. You know, like it's like a free for all. How many people have actually been grabbed by the pussy since President Trump has been?
There are people who feel like they have been given the license.
I'm just saying.
To do certain types of things,
you do?
Not just sexually.
All right, that's fair.
But also to people they perceive as immigrants or people they perceive as not having
others.
The right to be here.
Mm-hmm.
People they perceive as others. I think people are absorbing the license from the top to treat people in a certain way that is disrespectful. I think people are absorbing that they have the right to do that.
Well, it's never happened to me, but I know female comics that have been grabbed by the pussy on stage by a host, like, during Obama. So, like, I think that.
And did they say anything at the time? Like, hey, what are you doing? Did they approach it? I'm just saying, because I'll tell you what, in 95, when I was grabbed legitimately by the pussy, I didn't say anything. I'm not going to say now who grabbed me by the pussy. Because I don't think, and this is not because I'm not part of any movement or with, I don't think it serves anything right now for me to say who or what.
Right.
That's me. But in the moment, if I would have had the balls.
Or the ovaries.
If I would have had the balls. If I would have had the balls then to say, but I guarantee, even then, nothing would have happened. Like, right. I'm not saying, but go ahead. I didn't mean to step on
you.
Let's put that in a different scenario. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's say it was your daughter and she got grabbed by her pussy and it was.
Well,
10,
she'd have to come to me.
And she comes to you 10 years later and says, you know what, Ma? I have to tell you something. And he goes, you know that kid, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's a great kid. Well, 10 years ago, he grabbed me by my pussy and it hurt. What do I do?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I did. Because I didn't, because, you know, when it dawned on me that I didn't take a step at the point where I was grabbed by the pussy, years later, I approached that person and I said, I approached that person directly with the ovaries and said, look, what you did X amount of years ago was completely, my favorite word,
inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. And since I have to see you from time to time, let's just know that we're on the same playing field. Mm. And if you ever do that to me again, you know, there will be consequences.
Okay.
So that's, I guess, how I would advise. You know, I would say go directly to the source, you know, before you, because to me, if you go directly to the source, then you, that's really standing up for yourself. You went right to the person.
Right.
And so that's how I would do it.
But
I feel like nip the shit in the bud.
Fire you, though. Like, that's the whole.
Would you say it again?
What if the source could fire you?
Oh, I see.
What if the source is
boss? I have. This is the one thing about me as a woman in this business, and I don't know if Rhonda feels or any of you feel this. I have never done anything in this business to keep a job. I've said exactly what I've wanted to say or not wanted to say based on fear sometimes, but I've never slept my way to the top, clearly. You know? You know, I never, and so, you know, it may have, you know, whatever it is, whatever integrity that is, that I got from my dad, you know, like I just always just tried to do the best I could do. And anybody that knows me knows that. So I'm just saying I didn't take care of myself at the time. I don't know how any of you would have handled it, but that's how I handled it as an adult. I went right to the source. And if it would have meant getting fired, then I would have gotten fired because I've literally said to people, if you don't like it, fire me.
See, that's hard. That's hard. That's very, really hard. And that's your livelihood now. And but see, for you, okay, you're a rare one. You're one of those people that speaks their mind and says, come what may, at least I can sleep at night. Mm-hmm. But now you get those people and women who have to say, look, I got to eat. So I'm going to speak my mind and I get fired, but at least I spoke my mind.
You're right.
I'm hungry.
You're right, Wally. But look
at the
situation
with
Uma Thurman, who was put in a position with her director and her producer. She literally said, I do not want to be in this position. I don't want to drive this car. And it comes to find out the stunt person wasn't even on the set on the day that this whole accident happened. And she's in a car, driving a car on an open road, and she gets in an accident after saying she did not want to
almost
do it.
Almost decapitated.
Yeah.
The Kill Bill thing, right?
Yeah. She was terribly hurt, and she had protested vehemently. And
but how did this not come out until just now? Sorry to interrupt. But
that does disturb me. And why? Where were her?
My point was that's her boss.
Yeah.
Like, she has contracts, and she has, you know, money that she can't, like, fuck up.
But she also has a union, and she has lawyers,
and
she has a contract.
And what where's
and like,
the management
why is, like,
on this?
Like, if I have a contract, and I'm sure somewhere in that contract, and if she had like a team that was worth their salt, if I say no to something, I say no to it, and you can't make me do it. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, where were they?
Where were right. they? Like, where was her team? Like, where was her agent? Where was her manager? Where was her lawyer? Because if I'm, like, on set, and I'm just like, I'm not doing this. They're like, oh, you're going to do this. And I'm just like, oh, am I? Where's my lawyer? Like,
yeah. Barry see. Katz, where are you?
Yeah.
That was just for Wally. That was for Wally. Barry, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting in that car.
Hey, man. It's not gonna happen. Man.
Hey, man.
You're killing me, dude. You're killing me.
But everybody doesn't have that huspa that you two are talking about. It's like not the same.
Right.
Like. Sometimes it's like, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. Hey, Rodney, get in the car. Yeah. Rodney, get in the car.
I didn't have the hutzpah 20 years ago, honestly. It took some time.
Exactly.
So my mouth stayed closed.
So 20 years ago, you...
But that doesn't mean... Uma Thurman was a grown-ass man. Woman.
Grown-ass man. But...
Right.
That... Cat out the back. Oh, right. No. It was a grown-ass woman when that happened.
Right. That had already had signed contracts for this movie and probably gotten paid... partially up front and then waiting for the rest of the money for after she gets done with the film. You know, there's a lot of stuff that kind of goes into that, like, world to where you might end up getting into this car.
Yeah, and so I think she had to make that decision right then and there, too.
Yeah, and it's not like you're right there on set right now. We're filming.
Go.
Do it.
Wait a minute.
Sorry, guys. I got to go to the bathroom. Like, I had, like, a really bad taco.
But see, you could...
hello.
But see, but he was saying, but Ronnie's saying the same exact point. You guys have chutzpah. You guys know enough. But here you are in this moment with this, you know, multi-million-dollar movie. You know, you got a studio, you know, saying, look,
you're carrying it.
Yeah.
You're carrying it. You're the
so
lead.
So now you got to make the decision right then and there. Are you going to be that jerk to be like, hold production? You know what I mean? I'm not saying... you know, you would or whatever, but I'm saying that's the questions that you have.
Yeah, that's when you everything. Christian bail out. That's when you go, hey, man, you're walking on the set, man. What are you doing? You're fucking up my whole scene. That's not even the right accent.
It's easy to say that. It's easy to say that.
I know, I'm fucking around.
It's easy
I like
to
Christian
say that.
Bale
but
a lot.
Like I'm saying, it's a lot tougher. You're in that situation, and it's like, make a decision right now. And I'm sure if you try to calculate it, like, oh my God, I got all this pressure. You know what?
Right. And it's not like just you, there's like all these people. On set looking at you.
Yeah, and she's
like,
not the only one that's done something like that. There's probably male actors too in situations like that.
No, I mean, I get it, but like, I'll also kind of go back to like even when I was in like my early 20s and I was working in an office environment and like I had just gotten promoted and my direct supervisor was training me and he's talking to me and as he's talking to me, he puts his hand like on my thigh as he's talking to me and like, we're like at my keyboard and I feel his hand on my thigh and I just like stopped typing and I looked at him and I looked down at his hand and I looked back at him and I just was just like
Now, if you should see her face.
And
like, the RCA Victor dog face. Ladies like, and gentlemen.
It's like.
Oh, that's right. And you know what I heard?
Narrate,
I'm such
you gotta
a,
narrate the face.
I'm such a male comedian. I was like. Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow. I was like, motherfucker, I wish you would.
Right.
And so like, I just kind of tilted my head sideways and I gave him side eye and he moved his hand. And then I went back to typing and I didn't say anything. He's never, like, he didn't do it again. Like, there was no conversation, but it was simply, like...
A moment.
There was a moment that, like, he thought he was going to cross that line. I'm just like, this line's not getting crossed. And he's like, okay. Like, and that was it.
But once again...
Chutzpah, I get it, but everyone needs to grow a pair.
Yeah, like, I mean that's kind of like the mantra of everyone to, you know, to grow a pair and stand up for yourself. But there are a lot of people on this planet that can't do that.
They can't, and I don't know.
Because they're afraid of the consequences of that decision.
I kind of blame our generation, and I'm a little confused by it. Like I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. You don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But like we have there's a generation now that like can't that want you know that speak out, and then there's a generation that that can't differentiate a little bit of what to really speak out about. I mean, maybe I'm confusing, like, the themes a little bit, but mm-hmm. there's, again, like, when it goes back to appropriate versus, like, listen, let's go. You know, I'll just be honest. I was raped at 8 years old, mm-hmm. right?
That's horrific.
But mm-hmm. I was eight.
Mm-hmm.
That's rape. That is right. Rape.
No question.
Then there's moments like you describe with the person touching you inappropriately. Then there are things, and with all due respect, that people sign up for. They mm-hmm. put themselves, and I say this in AA, you put yourself in a position that later, you know, put you in a position to be hurt. And that's that right. has to do with choices some men and women make, right. you know, in their lives.
Right.
Right? I've made decisions based on what happened to me at 8, probably up until the time I was 42 years old, mm-hmm. and I'm only 43 now. Mm-hmm. but I'm saying that, like, it's about educating people on what is, because we're taking away, and this goes to the vagina monologues, because now I'm going to plug, but it's we're taking away legitimate things that are happening to women sometimes by diluting it with some of the, like, the Aziz Ansari shit.
Which was horrible. It was muddying the water.
Right. Like,
and not helping anyone.
Right. There are things that are happening in the workplace that are heinous things. Right? But they can be handled. They can be handled now. And the dialogue is open for that. But it's just like, you know, it goes back to the earlier thing. How far is it going to go? Because sometimes, like, I honestly, and I'm not trying to, you know, I am pro man. Like, I love fucking men. So I don't want to hear how every fucking guy, it's every fucking guy's fault. Mm. Forgive me. Right. It isn't every guy's fault.
Yeah.
It isn't.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all I have to say. It's not every guy. There are a lot of men that are fucked up. There are.
Yeah.
But it's not every guy's fault.
Right.
Okay, that's it.
But I know, and I kind of think that you make a valid point about the fact that, like, especially in some of these situations when we're talking about, like, an Aziz situation, although, like, I think you can throw it in there, but, like, in some of these cases when you're talking about Cosby and you're talking about Harvey Weinstein, that there were some of these women that went to the hotel, went to the house, kind of knew something was up and went anywhere because they thought that they were going to get something out of it. They thought it was going to help their career. Kind of to your point when you said that you didn't fuck your way to the top. Some people thought that they could fuck their way to the top, but then
some,
you know,
did too.
And some did fuck their way to the top. Mm-hmm. But now that it's 20 years later, and, like, now that people are saying hashtag me too, now it's like, oh, well, I can jump on the victim train and, like, oh yeah, well, yes, I went to his hotel, and yes, I knew he was married, and yes, it was midnight, and yes, we'd been doing coke for 4 hours, but he shouldn't touch my breasts. Like, you know, it's just kind of like there's a difference between, like, and there were some cases where I had read, you know, allegedly that Harvey Weinstein broke into someone's apartment and physically abused and raped her and physically assaulted her. There's a difference between that woman and a difference between a woman that said, oh, you know, yes, I went to his hotel room. We did a couple of lines. We were drinking, and then he did something.
See, this is a slippery slope, because if I was an attorney, I'd be like, look, just because the circumstances came up where she was dressed a certain way or this happened or she did X, you know, it's still no means no, and blah, blah, blah. But I will say, I know, because I'm a woman, that, you know, I like to look a certain way, right? Certain times that I know I look provocative.
You are an Instagram hottie.
Thank you.
Instagram model.
So I know that I'm going to gain a certain amount of attention. And right. I'm not are we forgetting that we are animals? I mean, is that, like, are we forgetting that we're fucking animals? A man is a man. I'm not saying, again, and God, I want a man to be a man.
Right.
For fuck's sake. I mean, I don't want to emasculate every guy. Like, right. I do want them to, like, you know, be a little aggressive. Jesus, that's what I like about them.
Right. But see, but that's,
you know, a little bit of that.
And
Jesus.
And that's what drives me crazy.
It makes me
then,
crazy.
But nothing that's that drives me crazy, because then, of course, like, women, okay, you know, and this is where it gets like, what? Yes, you dress a certain way to get a certain amount of attention. But then they say, well, I can wear just anything I want to wear because, you know, I just want to wear this because just my breasts are hanging out. This doesn't mean you have to look that way. And so then it's like, so what are you supposed to do?
There is a great monologue in the vagina monologues that, but this is my point right. about a short skirt.
And we're going to wrap it up after
right,
Gina.
About a short skirt, right? And the short skirt isn't designed for your thing. It is about being able to wear it, to feel good in it. It's about awareness, right? It's just about men not taking advantage of that to the extent that, you know, she's dressed this way because of that. You know, we do want to look good, And it's
but you do want to get approached too.
Listen, I miss construction workers saying, "Hey, you want a piece of this?
We need another, another hour.
Not that I ever wanted.
I want another hour. I'm not done.
Yeah, okay,
but like, and I agree with you. But there is a difference between wearing a a provocative dress to dinner, and just having dinner and not being like raped on your way to the car by your date. And there's a difference between that dinner and drinks, then going to a hotel room and maybe having suggestive conversation, and then 20 years later saying, oh, you know something, I was drunk that night, he shouldn't have touched me. Like, I think there's a difference.
Yes.
Like I said, I'm sorry, but we are going to have to wrap this up, and I feel like I'm going to have to get the three of you back again so that we can continue this conversation. Because
absolutely.
This
we had something
dope city.
I know, right?
Wow. You guys are dope
we
city.
We didn't get any other topic.
But,
all those comics who masturbated in front of me did nothing for my career.
You know.
Wow.
Ridiculous, but you've got beautiful skin still. So
lovely.
Wonder why.
facials.
But look, okay. Before we go though, just where everyone can follow you on social media, what projects are you working on next? I'm going to start with Wally and go around. Wally Collins.
All right. So it's W-A-L-I Collins. Facebook, Twitter, the Holy Trinity, Instagram. Please come to my show March 13th at the Gotham Comedy Club. It's called the Wally Collins Comedy Cup. It's a lot of fun, I promise you. It's so much fun. Everyone that comes to the show, even the comics that have not done the show, they go, I want to do it again. It's a lot of fun. It's called the Wally Collins Comedy Cup, March 13th at the Gotham Comedy Club.
And what time is the show?
8:00.
There you go. Rhonda Handsome.
Oh, yeah. I'm Rhonda Handsome. That's like a handsome man without the D. Make up your own dick joke.
Okay.
Follow me on Facebook, Rhonda Handsome Comedy. Please, I want to get my social media numbers up to the Monique Turndown Netflix money level, okay? Rhonda Handsome on Twitter. And I will be at 53 Above Broadway doing Groovin' on a Sunday Afternoon on February 25th. Come out. We're honoring women writers, and I'm going to be doing a song written by Mickey Grant. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
No, thanks for doing it. Gina Savage.
Okay. Hi. So, yes. So, I'm Gina Savage. And I'm the booker of West Side Comedy Club. We book a lot of women, by the way. Hats off, ladies. All right. So West Side Comedy Club, we're doing the Vagina Monologues on February 13th and 14th at 7 p.m. And then we're doing a Cupid's Arrow comedy show after that. And it's mostly women, hosted Valentine's Day with Jamie Roberts that night. And you can find me Savage in the City on Twitter. And you can follow West Side Comedy Club New York City on Twitter as well. And that's it.
Awesome. This is Big Talkin' Brewskies. And we will be right back.